Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Everyone, and welcome to the 5-Star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I'm your host, as always, Scott Edwards, and today we have a lot to talk about. Of course, Joshi Mania is finally over. Oh, I mean WrestleMania too, but you know, it was Joshi Mania. That's what it was all about. Just Joshi making the weekend, whether it be the Stardom show, which we talked about last week. TJPW ran their own show. They also did a show with GCW, where it was GCW versus Joshi. Spark ran their own show. Stardom was on Ring of Honor. Julia was at WrestleMania. Actually, the whole Stardom roster ended up at WrestleMania. But we will talk about it all. This is going to be a packed, stacked episode, and I will have a guest to join me in just a little bit. But there was exciting news this week that has nothing to do with Stardom or TJPW, but it has everything to do with excitement, and that, of course, is the return of Tsukasa Fujimoto to pro wrestling. She announced in a press conference with Ice Ribbon that she is returning. She will be doing a dojo match as a warm-up on, I believe, April 20th. You would think I would check that, but, you know, I'm not official here. And then the main match, the one that's important, is, of course, her return for Seedling, as she will team up with her best friend, partner, Arisa Nakajima, who will also be returning to action on April 21st as X, and their trio also features Sari. So yes, the trio will be Tsukasa Fujimoto, Arisa Nakajima, and Sari. That is about as good as it gets. I thought Kairi, Natsupoint, Sayori was the super trio, but little did I know there was something to top it. And they will be facing Hanako Nakamori, Hiroyo Matsumoto, and Miyuki Takase in the Seedling main event on that day. Looking forward to that show. But that's next weekend. Also this weekend, Sendai Girls will be on pay-per-view, I think. I don't know if they actually announced the pay-per-view, but they are going to Corican Hall, and that is important. Oh, they are officially streaming on pay-per-view, which is very important. The card is as follows. The big title match in the end will be the main one to talk about. But they will have Miyuki Takase versus Sakura Hirota. They'll have a trios match of Sayori Ano. Yes, the Wonder of Stardom champion. Sayori Ano making one of her dates despite being signed to Stardom. She will be missing a show this Sunday. She'll team with Manami, Ryo Mizunami against Hiroyo Matsumoto, Zones, and Chi-Chi. Sari will be back in action as she goes one-on-one with Eureka Oka. And then they will have a special tag as, I don't know what Jiro goes by in Japan now. I only remember his old name. But it will be Jiro, Tokyo something, and his tag team partner. I don't know. There's men in this match. I don't talk about that on the show. They're fighting Team 200 Kilograms, okay? That's what you need to know. And the two big matches, which will be a hardcore match as Dash Chisako goes one-on-one with Unagi Sayaka, which is pretty psychotic, thinking of Unagi in a hardcore match. But the big main event will be Maika Iwata defending her Sendai Girls World Championship for the very first time since winning it last year, and she will defend it against Venny So that should be a fantastic match. I will be reviewing that next week. That's it. That's on. It was just quick news. We got through the quick news of the non-WrestleMania week involvement. Now we get to all of that, which is, it's so much more than I expected to talk about. So I said, oh, why not bring on a guest who experienced WrestleMania week, Stardom's WrestleMania week. And that is someone who has been on the show before for a live review. I don't remember which live review, so I'm not going to... probably Queendom, if I had to guess. I've only done two, so I'm going to guess it was Stardom Dream Queendom. That feels right. But that is String Six Splash. Welcome to the show, my friend. I hope you are ready to talk and talk and talk.
Hey there, Mr. Edwards. I'm as ready as I'm going to be, because in one sense, I feel like $1 million having experienced Joshi Mania. And in another sense, I'm also sick, so I'm actually not feeling like $1 million. But there's no better person to be talking about this stuff with than the one and only Mr. Scotty Edwards. So,
well, you're too kind.
I'm as ready as I'm going to ever be. Let's do it.
All right. Well, I do want to start off somewhere, because I did get to review Stardom's show last week. I thought it was a very good effort. And more importantly than anything else, it was a good show to bring in new fans, because I know while a lot of Stardom fans made their way to that show, a lot of people that haven't witnessed Stardom did as well. Of course, Micah successfully defended the title against Megan Bain. Saki Kashima robbed the title from my girl May Sarah. I will not get over it. Tony Storm showed up as well. So those are kind of your big points from that show. But you were in the building. You were at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. How was your experience between that and just the whole week without, you know, I don't want to make you go over every event that you attended. We will be reviewing other things. But that show, how was the experience? How was it live? How did the talent come off and all that?
I got to say to anyone, anywhere, you really have to see Stardom next time they are here. There are two ways I kind of look at the experience. There's one side of it in which I'm looking at what the wrestlers received in terms of the warmth, the reception, how over they were, and maybe how much they may have underestimated the fandom in America would embrace them. We were hanging on every single gesture, every single moment, every single bump of every match. And so many people were so over that I can only imagine how that energy felt for the performers. And sometimes you can kind of see it. You can see it in some of the backstage interviews. And sometimes they kind of let it show, I feel, when they're in the ring. So for me as a fan, that's sort of the other side of the coin. It was tremendous just being there. There are so many different things that I appreciated that they did, with one caveat being it was a bit of a short show. It's something we kind of talked about, which is that I think they really didn't have the venue available to them for a long stretch of time. So anything that I would sort of critique, it all goes back to that sense that they had a limited time frame to work with. With that being said, though, I think they actually contributed more to this show than I even expected. And what I mean by that is we did have the two title matches with a title change, though not the most popular title change ever.
Unacceptable, but
continue. Right. And you talked about the Toni Storm appearance and the promo that she cut. And going back and rewatching that promo, I thought she nailed it. She consolidated what is the crux of an inter-promotional storyline now between AEW and Stardom. How often can we even say that? And she summarized what it is all about, who the players are, and why this is happening in the first place. And she contextualized it also with her own history with Stardom. So I thought she knocked that out of the park. They also brought Momo Watanabe back at the end of the show to challenge for the red belt at All-Star Grand Queendom. They did all of these things here in America. So it's not just the case that they came here, it was business, and you know, they walked out the door. Yes, they had a bit of a time crunch to work with, but they wanted to make this show stand out in a couple different ways. So I don't mean to cut you off.
Don't worry. If I do cut you off, I will speak. Don't you worry.
Okay.
But I do want to say before you do continue, now that I have gathered my thoughts, I think not the show itself. I think you're absolutely right on the Tony Storm segment, especially because Tony, I think people can forget the Stardom history for her, former World of Stardom champion, former Cinderella winner, former five-star winner. And obviously she has reached a new level of stardom, pun intended, in both WWE and AEW, where I think a lot of people see Toni Storm as a former former WWE wrestler now, which is just so far from the truth. And you're right, like combining these stories is going to be great. It does only involve one Stardom wrestler. So like, if that's like how they're going to put Stardom involvement on their shows, which, you know, is they're kind of breaking away from it this coming week, which we'll get to. But if that's how they're going to do it, then it'll be a lot more interesting when the Jamie haters come back and so on and so forth. And when someone like Athena, for example, calls one of them out, because I think that's, for me, the more intriguing aspect of all this is like Athena doing that and so on. But you're absolutely right there. And as I let you finish, I'm going to give you my pitch of what they should have done for the show, but I'll let you continue because I did end up actually cutting you off despite saying I'm not going to cut you off.
Fair enough. Okay. I'm looking forward to the pitch though. I'll just 2 points here. So one thing that I think I need to emphasize, because it's pretty clear on the video, if you guys go and watch it back, but I want to say that it was amplified even more, was the crowd energy and pure volume. Mm-hmm. It felt like the roof was going to pop off of the building at multiple points. And I just love how Starlight Kid can try to get her chant going, and it takes half of a second for the entire inside of the building to completely erupt in her chant. And that happened in a few different points in time. And for people that were maybe unexpected, such as Momo Watanabe, very popular here in America, no matter what year it is, it seems. Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to say, and hopefully this is not too esoteric for the listeners, but you were kind enough to talk to me about Rossy Ogawa's firing. And we talked about Mayu Iwatani quite a bit. And her coming here, this show happening in the States, she's obviously performed in the States before. And I was a little bit ambiguous as to what her appraisal of this venture would be. Would she be excited to be here? What would she be feeling? I wasn't sure, but seeing her perform, seeing her interact with the fans, and then getting to meet her a couple days afterwards, I can say with just about as much certainty as possible that she was very, very happy to be here. She was very positive. She was very much welcoming to the fans and warm with the fans. And to see her do her thing with such accuracy and agility and speed, it's almost like, I don't think the cameras are capturing her fast enough. I don't know what their shutter speed is like, but seeing it with my eyes, I'm like even more so impressed with her. So I thought I'd have to mention that just because I'm talking to you.
Yeah, it's the greatest of all time. You know, that's kind of how it goes. I mean, if you know, you know. Like, she is someone who doesn't hold back. She's someone that goes all out. And I'm not shocked to see she was all in on it, because you know, when she goes out there, she gives it her all. And I think, as we've seen in the past month or so, she's settled back into like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I want people to know I'm the best, and I think that's very important for her. So this brings me back to my pitch, which I think I said last week's episode, but if I didn't, I'm saying it now. They should have ran Azumi versus Starlight Kid, because that is the match that people want to see from Stardom. No offense to Mike and Megan Bain. They had a great world title match. But that's the match that I think you put out there. And with a lot, I do think there was a lot of eyes on this show, because with WrestleMania week comes a lot new viewers, because a lot of people just want to try new things and they watch new shows. And this was on Fight, so it's like, or Triller, whatever the hell it's called. So it's like, you know, something easier for people to get into, you know? And I think for me, that was like the one match. Like, yes, they gave us part of it in the tag match, but that feels like the biggest match they could have put on without like any repercussions of, oh, you know, this isn't a title match. Like, people would not have cared. They would have said, oh, but it's Azumi and Starlight Kid, and we know what they can do. And especially with Azumi and her mindset coming over here, it's like, I've always wanted to go here. I've always wanted to come to the US. She's going to go all out. And as we saw in that trios match, they were both going to go all out. That's what they do. That's what they do. So, like, that was my hope. And I hope next time they come back, they know that it's that match, because that is the match I would, the one from Cinderella Journey 2022 is the one I would show anyone to get into Joshi. It's the one I would show anyone, because it's just so different. It's so unique. It's damn near perfect. So I think that's like what I would do the next time they come back here. Doesn't matter if there's a title on the line. That's going to be what excites people. As you said, people chanting SLK and getting right into it. And Azumi's obviously a huge star. She's someone that's faced Mercedes Moné, and that got people's attention. And, you know, she's just, and she's about to be on Collision and all these different things. So that was my only thing. And then I also thought that they should have done that for Ring of Honor, but that's a, they, we'll talk about that. So there's my,
yeah, for sure. I have no objections to your pitch there, and I have nothing but awesome things to say about Azumi, and we'll get into it with Ring of Honor for sure.
So let's get into Ring of Honor. We are, of course, going to now review everything else. I won't really be reviewing the TJPW show, because I have one match that I really wanted to talk about, and it was the, excuse me, the Yuki Aino and Zara Sakir versus Daisy Monkey match that opened the show. I thought that was a great performance from Daisy Monkey. I think Zara Sakir is someone that everyone should have their eyes on. But otherwise, it was a fine show. TJPW sold out their venue as well. So both Joshi companies running shows, selling out. That's what we love to see. But let's get to that Ring of Honor match. I said on record multiple times that if there's a match that's going to be the best of the week in Stardom, it's going to be the Ring of Honor trios match, because it's an all-star trios match. It was Mina Shirakawa, Micah, and Mei Sara defeating Saya Kamatani, Azumi, and Tam Nakano. And I felt like I was right. Not because, like, it was this out of the world match of the year, but all six got to showcase what they were about for a very strong period, while also showing the quickness, the great pace of Stardom on a big stage. And the crowd was into it. Literally, after that match, the crowd didn't get back into the Ring of Honor show until like the other women's match, which then had an injury angle that took the crowd back out of the show. So, like, I feel like they had one of the biggest reactions of the night, and that's what excites me so much, and that's what made me so happy. I thought, you know, Mina's such a star, and I knew she was winning this match because, like, they did the Tony thing, and she's going to be someone that I think is going to be heavily featured in AEW. If there's anyone that's going to be heavily featured, I do think it's going to be her. But man, like, Saya was great. Tam's just, seeing Tam And I'll ask you about this because you saw this up close and personal. But seeing Tam on a stage like this was maybe the most interesting to me, because I think Tam is so good at, and I know people listening to this podcast say, you just said Tam's so good. Let me finish. Tam is so good at getting her fans into a match, and specifically telling a story in a match. And oftentimes working with a crowd like a Japanese crowd is so different from working with an American crowd. And yet I thought Tam did a great job at flipping that switch and hitting all her offense and absolutely shining. And everyone did. Everyone ultimately did. Azumi Maysara did high speed, which was great. Micah did really good. Taya Kamatani did really good. And ultimately, it was, to me, the best match of the Stardom week. What were your thoughts? You were, of course, again, in the building. Did that fan reaction in the building feel pretty similar to how I'm explaining as someone that watched on screen?
I would say yes, and even I would go beyond that. There were a few distinct things about that I noticed about people that were in my section and that venue in particular that I'll definitely get into. But I do want to rewind just a little bit, actually twofold. First of all, Momokogo was in the 0 hour match against Mariah May. So I'm just really happy for her. I think it almost served as like a pseudo birthday present for her, because her birthday was the following day. And maybe we'll get to talk about that more, but I thought that was a good match as well. And then the thing that immediately got to me was seeing the entrance for Azumi, who was flanked by Saya Kamitani and Tam Nakano. There's only been a couple of times where seeing a wrestler's entrance live mm-hmm. has had any type of like emotional impact on me, but this absolutely was one of those.
Yeah.
And the reason I think it happened that way is because we got to see the center stage presented to Azumi, and she came out in this utterly fantastic new gear mm-hmm. on an international platform during the biggest weekend of wrestling that we're going to see in a long time. And it just felt so special, especially up close and personal. Yeah. She seems like somebody that can be presented as this undeniable star. And I kind of got chills seeing her make that entrance. I was so happy to see what they were doing, how they were presenting this young but very experienced and obviously extremely talented performer. There are times when I watch Azumi wrestle and in my head I'm like, I could totally justify saying this is the best wrestler in the world. And to see how they are expressing confidence in her abilities is great. So to get to the match itself and the crowd reaction, one thing, and this plays into Tam as well and her offense, is that for you and I, as you're kind of implying, like this match, it had a lot of things that we've certainly seen in other tag matches from these wrestlers, their moveset, the pacing, the pairings. But for the people in this venue, it was like every other move that somebody would do, they lit up. Like it was something they're not used to. It was a style they're not used to. It's a variation on something they're not used to seeing. There was even a guy in my section, he was basically playing the role of a heckler all night long. He was giving the other fans a hard time. He was giving the wrestlers a hard time. He was insulting people, trolling people. He had not a single bad thing to say about this match. They literally like won him over, and he was praising the things they were doing as the match got on. So when you see Tam, you know, delivering the axe kick to somebody's back, like that gets a pop. You know, the martial arts aspects of her offense and the things that look a little bit more snug or a little bit more harsh, that gets a reaction from people. Mm-hmm. And it carried over to everything people were doing. Everybody got the audience to perk up in one way or another. And I think it's just because they don't watch Stardom, so they haven't seen a lot of this stuff. It was still, like you said, it was a completely solid match through and through. everybody got a great moment to shine, and the performance and coordination between everyone was so locked in. One thing that I think almost worked to their detriment, which might not be so clear on TV, is when they have these multi-person tag matches outside of the ring, they have all these antics where somebody's chasing somebody down, someone is grappling somebody or pinning them. And I think with this audience in particular, they got a little twisted on where their focus was supposed to go. You can't tell. Oh, you did notice it. Yeah, okay. So I think that was the one thing that maybe got people a little tongue twisted, but the match overall, there's almost nothing I could say bad about it, but I'm still going to, because I do have one critique, and it's more of a critique for the whole weekend, because there was somebody I really had my eye on. I was expecting to have a lot of ring time across a couple of these matches. She ended up not having much, which is Mae Sarah. She had this kind of short, high-speed match with not a lot of action, we'll say. And then this match, she obviously started it off, and they started it off beautifully. But after that, she didn't get as much of a shine as I had certainly expected going into all of this.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I want you to react as I say these things. So definitely unmute yourself when you can, because I know we're going back and forth here. And I think with what you're saying is absolutely right with Mae Sarah. And I have a lot of thoughts about this match, like not the match itself, but everything surrounding it. So one, when it comes to the entrances, Mina and Azumi, I'm going to be that guy. I saw that and I said, well, you know what? These are the two that I expected Tony Khan and company to be most interested in, truthfully, because Azumi is so different. She's so different from everyone. She's incredible, obviously. And I was like, okay, I feel like if she gets a prominent role in any way on any of these shows, she's going to, you know, wow some people in the back. Mina, I just knew. Because it's very different, right? Because you were watching Azumi come up with Saya Kamatani and Tam, both of which we are accustomed to being bigger stars than both of them. But right. In the U.S., I knew Azumi was going to get the center spot. It's how you watch people react. It's how you watch Western fans react comparatively. And they like her so much. And I've watched Tony Khan wrestling enough, or how his wrestling and how he presents things. I'm like, Azumi is going to be someone that I think they're going to really focus on in this new relationship. And then you look at Mina, Micah, and Mae Sarah. I just thought Mina was obvious, truthfully, especially after the Tony Storm thing. And with Mae Sarah not getting enough shine, I have a very, this obviously is not any confirmation or anything. This is just a me thing. But think about who was there, right? You had Shuri there. You had Starlight Kid there. You had Mayu Iwatani there. And these are the six they picked. And it's not like Maesera was there to take the pin, right? Like, Maesera, obviously, out of those six, I think, yes, she was double champion 2 days before this or 1 day before this, but she's still lower on the totem pole. I think we can agree on that.
Yes.
Yet, it was Sai Kahtani that got pinned. And I just sat there. I was like, why were these six? Like, I have no problem with these six. Love them. Obviously, I'm a huge Maesera fan. I say it on the show every week. But I'm just sitting there like, Starlight Kid's someone that they love. Stardom, that is. They love her. Shuri is the most known wrestler on this roster, not named Mayu Iwatani. She's not out there. And she was just venturing and seeing Philadelphia after her match. That's all she did. She wrestled Masha Slamovich at 1 a.m., did nothing else the rest of the time. She just had she had herself a nice little vacation, which is great. She deserves that. But I'm just like thinking, I'm like, Mayu did the tryout. Oh, just smashed my microphone. Mayu did the thing with Spark. She did the tryout that night. So I knew why she wasn't there. But I just kept looking at Shuri and Starlight Kid, and I'm like, why? And then I think I've reached this point. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's false. But I have reached this point where these six are who the new management, new Stardom, as I like to call them, look as their stars right now. And I just think that's the truth. Like, yes, they see Starlight Kid as a star. But Maesera is a champion. Maesera is a double champ. Well, was a double champ. I had it for so short. So short. I enjoyed it for all of 2 seconds. And they said, we're going to take that away from you. Appreciate it. But the other five especially, I just think those are the people they want to push forward. And that is my big brain, tinfoil hat type thinking here of, it's these six that they want to push. Because listen, I don't think Tony Khan was like, all right, I'm going to pick this one. Like, that's not what happened here. You know, it's Stardom. You get to put a showcase match on. Who do you want there? And I just feel like not doing Starlight Kid and Azumi again makes no sense to me. Not doing Shuri, someone that people know. Shuri's in the most famous Stardom match of all time. And then put her in there. So that was just like me thinking out loud. And I want to hear your thoughts on that, because obviously we're in a very weird period. And we'll get to that as we get to the preview this weekend, because we are officially jumping in to that new era. Finally, I think. Finally. Yes, we have been away from Rossi Ogawa for a while. Yes, we've known wrestlers are leaving for almost a month now, but we're about to finally jump into the new era. So how did you feel about these six being picked, with the likes of Shuri, Starlight Kid, Mayu Iwatani, even though, you know, she was doing the tryout, so we won't fully count her. Like, how do you feel about that?
I definitely like your theory. It beats anything I could come up with, aside from, I think Maesera also,
Cosmic Angels always win. That's the other thing. Cosmic Angels are the world to this company, so I'll add that in too.
Okay. Fair enough. Well,
Mina's good friends with May. So,
right. That's actually literally what I was about to say, is Maesera has, at least on social media, very sparsely hinted that maybe she's interested in joining Mina's faction. So it could be a way to put more eyeballs on that. I think it's pretty clear that EXV has been pushed a little bit more to the forefront since they have formed. So there could be some considerations of that. But what you said seems to check out. I was going to invoke maybe considerations of each wrestler's weekend as a whole, in terms of how much work they wanted to be doing, if they wanted some more time to rest or not. But, you know, the promotional considerations of which wrestlers particularly, which personalities, which characters are going to be elevated or at least hold their position, that seems to be likely the main concern that you know Stardom's looking at.
Yeah, it just the Maesera thing makes sense, like teaming her with Mina and Micah, that makes sense. And then I just sat there and I was like, but Tam with Azumi and Saya Kamatani doesn't. So I just sat there and I was like, it's just Cosmic Angels. If you're if you're friends with Cosmic Angels / Kozen / EXV, I mix them all now, you win.
Wow.
That's just okay. The reality. Cosmic Angels runs Stardom now. That is my, it is.
I kind of see what you mean.
They
can we agree that what they're doing with Mina is like a step or two or three above what they're doing with anybody else in terms of the international intrigue and the story that they're building and putting her on screen?
I wouldn't be shocked if she went to the U.S. full time eventually. I just think, especially at this point in her career, it's almost kind of what I'm expecting, which, you know, is a shame, but good for her. She speaks great English. She's someone that I think can connect with many crowds. I've been saying that for a while. So it does make sense to push her as their international star. I think you're absolutely right. So we definitely agree on that. It's just like, and again, we'll keep getting into this, but Cosmic Angels, Cozen affiliation, that is a big thing moving forward. They are LIJ to New Japan. Like, you know, if in this new era of New Japan, who's on top? LIJ. In this new era of Stardom, I think it's going to be much of the same with Cosmic Angels, the most popular group. Per Shoe Pro, they were the, was it Shoe Pro? Yes, it was Shoe Pro Awards. They had the most popular faction in Japan. Tam was the most popular wrestler over Tetsuya Naito. Like, that is a huge deal. And they're going to look at that. They're going to look at the metrics that we don't see. And that's why I think that is the case. So that is the only reasoning I can make for no Kid and no Shuri. But honestly, at that point, I would have just, it's hard for me to say, how do you not put Shuri on that show? Because Shuri, again, is more known, I think, than those six. But ultimately, I'm sitting here, it doesn't matter, because those six did a great job. Those six shine. Those six showed what Stardom is all about. And it's going to be one of my favorite matches here. No, it didn't reach the high of highs like a Mayu versus Shuri or Meisera versus Suzuki, but it's still one of my favorites in my heart because of the performances they put out there. I just need to get my rant off because I had a lot of thoughts after this, and yeah, that's all. Is that an acceptable rant? I hope.
This is pretty good. I'd rate it decently highly, but maybe we should just put this out there in case we didn't actually say this. The reason I'm not necessarily grading this match purely on the merits of the technicality and stuff is because this match is almost in a different category.
Yes.
This is a match on almost like a global stage. The match is important because what it represents and who it was seen by and when it was being seen and how it was being interpreted. So you almost have to put an asterisk next to it because this match is great without being great, if that makes sense.
Right. It's much of the action we will see on a Cork and Hall show or a weekend show, but it's raised up due to an incredible crowd, whether they're learning or getting into it, and what the performances and the abilities that they put into this match. So it does get raised up a bit, and I think that's just situational as well. But a very good match. Everyone should check it out if you haven't already. I just applaud them. Let's get into, before we move on to the rest of Mania Week and other topics on the table, we also have a few questions to answer towards the end of this show. Let's talk about Tony Khan's interest in AEW or in Stardom being part of the AEW world now. It was, I believe, Heart Editing asked Tony Khan about the relationship or lack thereof between him and Stardom when Rossi Ogawa was running the ship. And the way I summarize this is going to be, I wrote up the best response, not quote for quote, but he was asked about it. He realized he fed into the speculation, right? Remember when Rossi got fired, he made a tweet that was a little bit uncalled for, I think. Obviously, I understand on his end, he is on Bushiroad's side. That is her partner. But it was just unnecessary because it did ultimately make pretty much every AEW diehard fan just completely hate Rossi Ogawa. And you know, Rossi did a pretty good job at feeding into it himself this past weekend, but we'll get to that. I think it's pretty funny. He praised the new management, naming Taro Okada and Bushiroad. He explained how being able to work with them now is helpful considering some of the wrestlers' history on the roster, including Mariah May. Wants to acknowledge that history, whether it be clips or obviously, as we're seeing unfold on television, Mariah May's entire story now includes Mina Shirakawa in the actual story. He ended up saying he would love to see more wrestlers in Stardom moving forward. Noted he was always a willing participant and even name-dropped AEW's Megan Bain, who worked over there. Very important that he name-dropped Megan Bain because, folks, no freaking clue what's going on with Megan Bain. Still no clue what's going on with Megan Bain. She obviously left Stardom at the beginning of this year, has wrestled the indies, and she challenged for the World of Stardom title on the US show. And that is all we've seen from Megan Bain. So it was interesting that he said AEW's Megan Bain. He also noticed there wasn't much communication as he would have liked. So he never said anything bad about Rossi other than he would have liked more communication in this relationship, which I of course found very interesting, but I do appreciate him kind of changing it in the conversation. And he also praised the Mina's match with Anna Jay and overall sounds very excited about this new relationship with the promotion, which is great because I want that excitement if this is going to happen, which it obviously is. I have been someone that admittedly on this show has not been behind the idea of Stardom and AEW working together until it made sense. Now with the likes of Mercedes Moné around, Mariah May around, Queen Aminata, Athena, the list goes on and on in the AEW side. It finally fully makes sense. There is a roster on the other side that I want to see compete with the Stardom roster. And even more so, if we're going to showcase Stardom the way we did on Ring of Honor, that's the best way to do it. So I am much happier with where we are now. But Tony Khan, you start signing my wrestlers away and I will come for you. Just letting you know that, because that is that. Listen. I don't need to hear the yen is down. I don't want to hear the yen is down. I've read it a million times. I get it. And listen, I'm going to cheer on the wrestlers who want to go to America, because ultimately that is their decision. But at the same time, I don't want to lose this incredible roster. I have become very happy with the Stardom product for years and years and years and years now of these great, incredible wrestlers putting on a show every single weekend. So that's all I ask. And if this is how we're going to do the relationship, the way we are seeing it unfold outside of one little thing, I'm okay with that. So my long-winded response of AEW Stardom officially beginning is that this can be good. It can get them on a bigger stage. That's what I want to see. And that's what I think we're going to see. If you sign someone like Amina, I get it. I would sign Mina too, especially if she wants to go to America. But don't take the whole roster away from me. Thank you.
So the statements from Tony Khan, these took place at the sort of the post-media scrum of this Ring of Honor show, and anybody can check that out on YouTube. There were some other statements that came from some of the wrestlers in Ring of Honor. We had Billy Starks chiming in and Athena as well. And Tony Khan seemed to maybe subtly co-sign some of the things they were saying. Billy Starks said that she was watching the six-woman tag match and had an interest in facing anybody in that match. She's obviously got a new championship. She was hinting that maybe she had an interest in going to Japan, defending this championship. I would actually throw Momo Kogo at her instead of any of the six. I think that would be a better sort of in-ring fit based on what I've seen. And Momo Kogo, just to throw her just a little bit more support, she works really well in the States as an underdog. It was maybe not translated so much on camera. You can actually see her match with Mariah May on YouTube as well, everybody. But Mariah May was getting some heat from the crowd for kind of bullying her and showboating, especially at the end of the match. She kind of stomped on Momo Coco when she was already down, and people were not into it. So I've been lucky enough to see Momo last year at New Japan Resurgence when she wrestled against Willow, and there was the same underdog effect happening. So if she were to challenge somebody like Billy Starks and take on that role, mm-hmm. I think that match would make a lot of sense. And I do think I kind of notice Tony Khan kind of into the idea of Billy Starks getting in the mix. And then, of course, Athena brought up the wrestler whom she referred to as AZM, which we've heard
classic.
Classic. And who wouldn't like to see that kind of a pairing? So, yeah. And she was offered names like Shuri and Mayu Iwatani. I think this was Heart Editing who asked this question, and I ran into him a couple of times. He was having a good time at Joshi Mania weekend. But to see that not only the man in charge is interested, but some of the highest level wrestlers are interested. Yeah. It's definitely something to be paying attention to, and could result in some good shows and good matches.
Yeah, Athena has been someone that has been kind of openly saying it for months after months after months. She wants to go to Japan. She said that on this presser. I want to go to Japan. I've never been to Japan. And I said, all right, we have a big major show at the end of this month. Get her to Japan. I mean, visas don't work that quick, so, you know, whatever. But it's nice. It's nice to think it would. My main point here is, though, you hear this interest. I want it to go both ways. Yes, if Stardom's sending Mina, and the schedule for Stardom works very well, obviously, because it's during the week, right? Like, you can go to Dynamite, you can go to Rampage during the week and get back for Stardom, but that's a lot of going back and forth, so it's just not going to work that way. Set up these big matches for a Grand Queendom. Like, I want to see Athena against Azumi. That is something I definitely want to see. And that's ultimately what I hope in the end. But I did like the excitement from everyone. I think there is clear excitement in the locker room from both sides. Obviously, Stardom's very excited. I think the AEW roster is very excited. So that is what I want to see in this relationship. So with that, I will bring us to the most recent events. That is, of course, Mina Shirakawa popping up on AEW Dynamite to make the save and save Mina Shirakawa from a beatdown with Anna Jay. She followed in Toni Storm's past when Toni Storm planted one on Mariah May. Well, Mina planted one on Mariah May tonight because the rivalry is building towards Toni versus Mina. Seemingly for the love of Mariah May, or, you know, that's their tag partner type thing. It's a very interesting story to build to. But there's more. There's always more. Don't you worry. There's always more. This Saturday night, when Stardom, of course, is running their normal shows, we know Azumi is, of course, on Friday night, going one-on-one with Stephanie Vaquer for the Strong Women's Championship. Mina Shirakawa will be in a pre-show tag, but the next night, Azumi will make her AEW in-ring debut. Well, overall debut, but you get my point. As she will be facing the AEW Women's World Champion, Toni Storm, in an Eliminator match. Obviously a huge match to be named. Got a lot of people excited. I have some worries. Not on Azumi's end. But Toni Storm plays this very specific character where she wrestles very slowed down compared to how she wrestles normally because she's playing the character. And I have just sat here thinking about it, and I'm just like, how do we let Azumi shine in this match? Because that needs to be the goal. Obviously, she's going to lose. She's not going to win an Eliminator match. I get it. I get that. because she's probably having this match and heading back to Japan. Mina, different story probably. But this one, I definitely think that's the case. So how do we let Azumi shine? I hope Tony turns back the clock a little, because she's wrestling someone she knows from her time previously in Stardom. She knows what Azumi can do. She knows the skill level, and I hope they just go out there and kill it, because more than anything this weekend, listen, I know Mina's going to get over. She's in an actual storyline in this company. I want Azumi to kill it on every single match she has, because like we talked about earlier, she is a star. She is a superstar. And this is her chance, and she's going to do everything in her power to show that. So I just hope Tony can play to that rather than her character, because if they do that, they can have a really good match in her AEW debut. Oh, so much, just so much going on.
Yeah. And this, a lot of this broke not long before we started recording this, so there still are some things to process. My concern, I'm hoping Azumi, I hope the U.S. doesn't lose its luster for her being here for this long, not broken up, experiencing all these crowds. Hopefully she doesn't get burned out in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and her experience as a whole, front to back, is mostly very positive for her, that she will be encouraged to come back and do more. But I'm on the whole really happy for her overall. I think she was one of the big winners of Joshi Mania weekend overall. So I'm going to stay optimistic, and we'll just see how the match plays out. There could be a lot of goofy sort of shenanigans they throw into it. That's something in the back of my mind, I'm thinking could happen, but I don't really know, to be honest.
Yeah, it's remain to see, but I will say openly on this episode, I am looking forward to the relationship much more than I was when, like, it just was a backstage segment, like a backstage picture between Khan and Okada and a Mina match versus Anna Jay. I'm much more excited about the showcase match. That's what I want to see. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that maybe kind of talks about one of the questions. Oh, so someone at Fran the Witcher had said, I don't see any reason why you have to be worried about TK workers Stardom. So far, they're doing pretty great. I'm sure they have more ideas, like Tony's Forbidden Door. Now, as for Julian WWE, that I can understand your concerns. So the reason I have concerns, people, is, again, I don't want people getting signed away. I love Stardom the way it is. And listen, Stardom has gone on a lot of change in the past couple months. I could use without a little extra change for a little bit. You know, let's just pump the brakes. But it's been a great start. If this is what we're going to do, I'm for it. Let the best wrestlers win. I also don't want to see every Stardom wrestler lose. That's very important too. I don't want to see it. I know Azumi's losing. I'm fine with Azumi losing. You know why? Because she's going to lose to the world champion. I can live with that. But, like, I don't want to see, you know, I don't want to see Shuri going in there and facing someone and losing, you know? But that's just me being picky, because I'm protecting the Stardom roster and the incredible roster that has made so many memories and so on and so forth. But that's just, it's fine. All right. Let's see what else we got here on the docket. Stardom in Spark. This will be quick, but Tam team with Asha Kong, and they went against Janai Kai and Mina Shirakawa. Asha Kong won with a Hurricane back fist. Not shocking. The big takeaway from this is Tam has gone all in. Tam is one of a kind. You know, she has gone all in, and she has a Tokyo Sports interview out now that says, well, Julia's leaving, which means my rival's leaving. I want Asha Kong to be my new rival. I don't know if that's what I would pick personally, but I'm pretty convinced with the, you know, new regime and all, and, you know, new world we live in with Stardom, that, you know, Asha Kong and Stardom is no longer a very crazy thought. Obviously, if you know the relationship between her and Rossi, there was a reason that never happened. But now if there is anything to take from it, it's that Asha Kong and Tam feels like a real reality, and it all somehow started on a little Spark show, which, you know, I want to shout out Spark. They put together a really cool show, but we'll get to more of that. It's just like in the Stardom universe, the first time Aja Kong's involved, and now Tam's making it, you know, part of her lore because it's Tam. I just think that's incredible. So shout out to Spark for putting that together.
The thing that stands out with this rivalry, among a lot of possible things, is that Tam is usually sort of like the matriarch or the mentor figure. Mm-hmm. She does a lot of stuff with rookies and things like that. And she found somebody that she can't be the motherly senior to. So that'll be at least a spin on some of her previous rivalries. It'll feel different for a number of reasons, but that's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. The other big match from there was Maya World and Konami going head-to-head with Jada Stone and Mayu Iitani. But Konami and Mayu picked trainees from the tryouts to team with them. And this was a really good match. Actually, one of my favorites from the indies part of the week. I thought Maya World was fantastic against Mayu. I think Mayu tried more in this match than she did the Stardom match, which was awesome to see, because this is a very unique opportunity for these wrestlers, right? For Jada Stone and Maya World. And I think both of them, if they want to start bringing foreigners back over, I think both of these two earned themselves a shot. Maya World was great. Jada Stone was great. I hope to see them come over. Konami, I don't really remember doing anything. That's not really a shot at Konami. She was just like, it was about watching what the two hand-picked partners did. And of course, Mayu's always, you know, the one that I'm paying attention to, because that's my favorite wrestler of all time. So that's just how it goes. But I thought they did a great job, and it's a match, again, you should go out of your way to check out. And besides that, Starlight Kid is the Spark World Champion, which is weird. I don't know what to say. Starlight Kid made a very special mask for Spark as well. Like, she went all in on this, and she is the Spark Champion. She defeated Sumi Sakai to do so. And I said, when in the world is she going to defend this title? And then they announced a event in Japan teaming with Colors. It will be Spark and Colors collaboration show in Japan, and I think June. And I said, that's where she can defend that title. So pretty cool to see someone from Stardom pick up a title from a different promotion.
Yeah, and this promotion, I think that's their first show in Japan, the one coming up.
It will be, yes.
So it leads me to believe that this reign is not necessarily going to be very lengthy, but that you are pointing to the show that she would likely make a defense, and then we'll see what happens from there. The manner in which she obtained the title leaves the door open for a lot of goofiness to take place, in which people abruptly dethrone other people. So she could be in for, you know, a surprising night at some point in her future.
Yeah, I think it's, if especially if you can book a show in Japan where it makes sense, why not put the title on her? If that's your next show, why not? That makes some waves, that puts people, that she's going to likely hold that title while she walks out for Stardom shows. Like, it's going to make people say, oh, what's Spark? Brilliant move. I thought it was great. So I want to just applaud Spark for their show Trailblaze on WrestleMania Sunday. I thought, again, they did a great job. Let's see what else we got here on the docket. Like I said, we've been talking about a lot. I know there's kind of a big topic here that I've been going around. I'd probably say the biggest topic, because it's now official. Let's get to the WWE side of Joshi. Bet we didn't expect to talk about that today. But Julia. Julia. We knew it was coming. We all knew this was coming. But Julia has agreed to a deal per Fightful Select per Corey Brennan. I want to give both credit. She has agreed to a deal with WWE to officially join the company, join NXT, as if no one could figure that out by the fact that they showed her live on TV at Stand and Deliver, as well as Rossi Ogawa, next to William Regal. So my brain was mush. I just want everyone to know this. My brain was mush when I saw all of this. I was like, oh, there's so much happening here. I can't process it all at once. But good news, people, it's been a while since that day. I have now processed it all. And that's the beauty of this podcast. So let's talk about it. Julia going to WWE. Listen, when I got into Stardom, I looked at Julia and I said, it makes all the sense in the world. It's going to happen. She's just that star that will interest them. She has the charisma. She's got the look. I'd say she has the in-ring. I think she's going to have to change her style a good bit, especially when she's wrestling with athletes in NXT, which is where she's going to go first. But she just made sense. And this was the news we've been waiting for. It was reported back in November by PW Insider that they had interest in her. We now fast forward here in April. Julia is on her way there. So, as someone who has obviously been covering Stardom like myself and watching all of this unfold, how do you feel about Julia kind of being confirmed now? Is it a sigh of relief for you, like I think it is for many of us, just because it's like, all right, we got here. We've spent the last 6-7 months just being like, all right, we know where Julia's going. Let's go. Let's get through this. You know, it almost has felt like that for a lot of people I've noticed. They're like, all right, well, we know she's leaving, so like, what's the point? You know, and I think it's been a sigh of relief for some, but for me, I'm asking about, well, I know she's not going over immediately. I want to know about that first. But how do you feel about Julia officially leaving the Joshiverse and heading to WWE?
I share your priority in terms of what you're interested in. The interim period, maybe we'll call it. But also some aspects of her going over there, even though it was heavily foreshadowed for months, as you said, still make me a little curious or puzzled. Mm-hmm. And you already hinted at part of it. So to me, when I think of who Julia is, who that character is, what the performances are, I think of somebody that doesn't just wrestle her opponents or have feuds or rivalries, but she takes those rivalries to a harsher place. It's almost like she's dragging her opponents into the mud or across hot coals, and it's going to be physically harsher and grittier than what we're typically used to. And she'll take her matches to these places, these very physical, grimy places. And then to me, on the side, there's also this aspect of Julia, which is that, you know, aesthetically, she can play up this glamorous side of the visual component of her character. So when I think of WWE, I think they like the glamour part. The other stuff, I have no idea that if they have any interest in keeping around. Yeah. So, and I think that's a concern that a lot of fans of Julia have voiced. Now, yeah. I'm also wondering how this experience is going to be for her. She was the person that was speaking out against Bushiroad before we even knew that Bushiroad was having issues like that. So, you know, she came to the forefront in an interview back in November where she was citing sort of like the interference or like the creative chopping away being done by people over her that she was not happy with. And it seems to me, and I'm willing to be wrong on this, please correct me if I'm saying something that's off base, it seems to me like that those types of levels of interference or diminishing of creative freedom, that those issues only stand to get worse going to a much bigger company with way more corporate investment and so many cooks in the kitchen and so many other concerns and a clear sort of style and a clear sort of vision for where they want to put people. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing I'm looking at. If I can real quick, I'll cite something she said in this interview back in November. So she was taking umbrage with some things happening with Bushiroad. Essentially, there were certain rivalries and storylines and bits of intrigue that the wrestlers were interested in growing and cultivating, but that Bushiroad was not interested in. And so things that would have been more organic or more wrestler driven were getting cut down. So she said, you know, the wrestlers want to show what the wrestlers want to show and what the company wants to do is completely different. She's able to create these rivalries and, you know, her rivalry with Tam and Suzu, but she cited Rossi Ogawa as being the person that greenlit and understood this sort of growing things from the wrestler approach and the fact that it would allow fans to invest and put their feelings into these rivalries because it was coming from a place of creativity, ingenuity, yeah, authenticity, but the corporate vision really screwed that up.
Yeah.
To me, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't see how that situation gets better at all for her with the move she's making.
So the way I always looked at it is she knew she was leaving for WWE around that time. She thought it was her way to speak out against the office to back Rossi Ogawa. It wasn't necessarily about like her. It was always about stardom and her wanting stardom to be the best it can be. I don't think she necessarily has a worry about like going to WWE and jumping through their hoops and all of that. It was, how do I defend stardom? You know, I'm the one that could speak out on it because, you know, as we kind of knew, she was leaving. Little did we know at the time, Rossi was also leaving. And I think that's the way she looked at it. So it doesn't necessarily have to do with like her overall sitting of it. It was, this is stardom. This is what I want stardom to be. And they have changed it so much with interference. Obviously, as Dave Meltzer had reported a while back, for one example, you know, they made Julia face Maya Kihi in a match she didn't want to do. They, you know, came to disagreements on the match, so on and so forth. And ultimately, she would lose the belt to Tim 1 month later. So disagreements for Julia and creative problems have always been a thing. But I think those are very stardom based. I don't think it's like for her moving forward. But I understand your point, because it's like, well, you're going to a company that's obviously going to, this is what they want for you to do, and this, you know, this is how it's going to go. I definitely think that. But moving from that, Julia wants to be a big star, and this is her chance to be a big star. The problem, I think, for her, which was your, you know, what you first talked about the one side of her is the glamour and the charisma and the star power that she automatically possesses, but it's all about everything else, right? Wrestling in the ring and so on and so forth. She's not like an overly athletic wrestler, right? I don't know how she's going to work. Her best comparison is, of course, someone like an Asuka, because the way I look at it is, let's look at the Joshi wrestlers that WWE have used over the past decade. Asuka obviously came in. She was the first Joshi wrestler, so she was someone that they were going to really push and get behind and establish. And obviously she had the interesting credit coming from the indie scene rather than the like a big stardom company or something like that. and she was a star, and they made her a star. She was a big star. It's been in a bumpy road, though, even so. Like, yes, she had the run in NXT, but the main roster run has not always been great for her. But I will consider her a success story, 100%. You look at Kairi. I do not consider Kairi a success story in WWE. Yes, she won the Mae Young Classic. Yes, she won the NXT Women's title. She lost the NXT Women's title like a month later. Great. And then after that, she did nothing and nothing and nothing and nothing. And then she won the tag belt with Asuka. And then she left. And now she's back. And she has the tag belts with Asuka. Great. You know, that's fine. Julia isn't supposed to be a tag wrestler. She needs to be the big star. And of course, then brings us to Io Shirai. Io Shirai is a success story. I just watched her kill it at WrestleMania. Julia isn't Io Shirai. It's just the truth. Io Shirai is unbelievably talented. Athleticism off the charts. Instant star. It's going to be tough for Julia. I just think that's the way it goes. Oh, and by the way, Sari, I don't want to even talk about it. We know what that story was. They did nothing with her, and they makes me angry. Different regime now. I understand that. I get it. So there's hope. I get it. But it's still going to be a challenge for Julia because so much of her in-ring now has to change. And that is the biggest concern for me when she gets there.
Is it at all possible that with this Netflix deal, there is some realm in which they're willing to have somebody involved in these nastier matches, a little bit more violent, a little bit more grit, and they've taken this into account with the mathematics that they're running? Is that at all possible?
I would love this. I think we're watching the wrestling change a little bit in WWE for sure, just based off of what I watched this weekend and so on. But even if they do, like, oh, we can be a little more physical, they can't be Julia physical. There's not, you know, like the shoe headbutts, those are gone. Those aren't happening anymore. You know, the slaps to the face and things like that. We'll see. There's wrestlers that can handle it, obviously, but they're on the main roster. And where she's going to learn under the WWE, I don't think she needs to learn anything, but, you know, you need to learn the WWE style, is she's going to be in there with athletes that are learning, like, how to do a headlock and how to run the ropes and things like that. So it's very interesting to me to see where and what she does. But after all this, I will say I hope she succeeds because I'm never going to root against any of these wrestlers. Yes, would I love Io Shirai to still be in Japan? Yeah, I would. I sure would. Would I love Julia to not be leaving? Yeah, I sure would. But it's the reality, so go kill it. You know, this is your chance. Go kill it. I want you to be respected. I want you to do your thing. So that's ultimately how I feel about it. But I have great concern just for Julia because of who she is as a wrestler and how difficult that may be to change over there outside of the overall charisma. But that might get her by, truthfully. Like, that might be enough in WWE to get her by if she has to completely change her wrestling style. I just hope whatever she changed that wrestling style is, it's at least physical, because that is Julia at her best. Oh my goodness. All right, let's see. I think we're almost done here, thankfully. Other WrestleMania week stuff. Shuri and Masha Slamovich was quite enjoyable. Lots worked against them in that match. Of course, it was a 30-minute time limit draw at 1 a.m. local time. So, like, man, that's tough. But I thought they did a lot of good things that I was like, well, can we run this back like for 15 minutes in Japan or something, because I think they'd have a fantastic match somewhere down the line if they could ever run it back. So that was one thing I thought. I thought TJPW did a good job as well. Oh, there's so much this week. I do have a question here that we'll get into. Then I'll get into Rossy Ogawa, because I think this question brings us into the Rossy Ogawa side of things. So, Rossy, my main man, the guy I've been talking about on the show for forever now, it feels like, told Tokyo Sports after his return from WWE WrestleMania that he will be making an announcement regarding his new promotion within the next week. So the next time I am on this show, we'll be able to talk about it. We'll hopefully have a name and dates and things that, like, actually, you know, the sad part is we can't call it Act Rossy anymore, or Ross Academy, or Rossy Dumb, or let's see, Pro Wrestling Rossy. You get my point. We're not gonna be able to name Rossy Promotions, as I've called it. Like, we're not gonna be able to do that anymore. We're gonna have a real name. So that's the one for unfortunate side. The fortunate side is we will have an actual name. That is the win here. So that's great. But yes, as I said, he was over there for WrestleMania. And obviously, there have been rumors for months now that, you know, Rossy may be interested in working with WWE. And I knew he was going to go to WrestleMania, not because of that, but because, boom, Nakano was going into the Hall of Fame, and that's a friend of his, and Io Shirai, someone he pretty much considers like a daughter of his, is wrestling on the grand stage. Like, it would have been shocking if he didn't go. But he also got treated as a guest. He had the badge that said performer on it, which he mocked on Twitter, which was kind of funny. He's like, I don't know why it says performer on it. I ain't performing anything, which I found very funny. So thank you for that, Rossy. But he was there, so we can only assume some sort of conversation was talked out. He did say in a Tokyo Sports interview that he did meet with Triple H. So, as I said last week, when rumors came up, and now we have confirmation, he was there and it was full on. Just going to have to wait and see. You know, like, he was on camera at Stand and Deliver, right next to William Regal and Julia. Like, there is a real possibility that some sort of partnership could be in the works. But I'm not going to sit here and dread it or talk about it or any of that, because I don't even have a name for the promotion yet. I can't, you know, have thoughts about this unofficial thing yet, but I expect it to be happening, so everyone else should too.
Yeah, the things I'm expecting we'll get from this press conference that he teased for, I think it's for this coming week or next week or within a week's time, is, yeah, company name. There may be some kind of sort of aspect of the visual aesthetic of the company, like a logo, or if they've got certain color scheme, or they got some kind of visual theme that goes with the name as well. We might get a first show, like a date or a location, and we may hear of some wrestlers who are attached to this first show, and maybe even hear something from actual wrestlers. That's kind of what we get from press conferences that are at least in the orbit of Stardom. Now, there is this question mark of how involved is this with his recent trip. And in that Tokyo Sports article, he referred to it as an inspection. He was there doing some kind of inspection. So that could mean a lot of different things. I don't really have much insight into that. So it's really hard to weigh the scale on this.
Yeah.
There is still little sprinklings of copium left for people who don't want to believe that he's going to get in bed with them. There's a lot of fear
with those three letters. There's a lot of fear.
Sure. Yeah,
it's natural.
Yeah. But this is a guy that knows a thing or two about promotion, and just him being in that seat when he was spotted sitting next to William Regal, he knows that even if his company is not going to be a WWE affiliated thing, there's going to be more eyeballs on it because of what he just did. So there's that.
Smart guy.
Right?
Smart guy.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. And I also kind of wonder, like, if it was a WWE related company announcement, why have him do it specifically in Japan?
Right.
Seemingly separate from them. Why wouldn't they make an announcement on their terms, where they want, kind of thing? So those are the little bits of copium that are still out there for people.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways to look at this. Like, you know, there's the best case scenario. Let me rephrase. If they're going to work together, there is a best case scenario. And the best case scenario is their foreigners are going to be WWE trainees, right? Like the people from NXT, for example. Those are the ones that are going to come over, rather than them having to scout and find people from independent scenes that we've never heard of. And you know, they can still do that, but that's one way. Another, which is my fun one, is that whatever this relationship is, it allows him to get the likes of a Io Shirai over for one show, or Julia to come back, or, you know, things like that, because it's supposed to be a partnership. I don't see WWE just signing, like, you know, 15 Joshi wrestlers out of nowhere. Like, that's not gonna happen. Yes, they've had success, whether it be Damage Control or just Io or Asuka. You know, I know I said Kairi wasn't a full success because I think they could have treated her a lot better, but in many ways, that's, you know, I'm sure people see her as a success, but my point remains, they're not going to just sign all these wrestlers. So I think you're right in, like, it's not a WWE company, it's a Rossi promotion that he is starting that may have a partnership, and that's just the reality we live in. You know, Stardom has a relationship with AEW now. Rossi wants a relationship with WWE. WWE obviously wants to have relationships with other companies now. That has been reported. We'll wait and see. I'm not going to be one to judge because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to look like. Rossi's a smart businessman. He's been doing this for a very, very long time. He's made successful companies. He's had many successes. Again, I'm not gonna doubt him. We're just gonna wait and see on Rossi. And then this one question, this was from @AEW_1. I'm curious, do you think Stardom and Rossi Dom, we're not gonna be able to say that anymore. What a shame. They'll raid the smaller Joshi companies for talent or bring over more Gaijins. And how big are TJPW, Ice Ribbon, Sendai compared to them? Hard to know before Rossi even gets this going for his company. So I have always thought, you know, this is signing season for Joshi often. Last year we saw Suzuki, Mae Sara sign with Stardom. Sarah Noah also came over as well, signed some sort of deal because she's been around for a year. But now she's officially signed a contract, of course. And then, you know, Rossi Promotions, where are you going to? You're not wrestling with just five wrestlers. I think we can agree on that. That'd be pretty impressive shows if they did do that, but you're not going to do that. So that is a reality we live in. Yes, there is going to be wrestlers that maybe are signed, but there's going to be a lot of partnerships. Rossi's got a lot of relationships. We're already seeing Stardom work with AEW, but in Japan, we're seeing them work with Diana, Pro Wrestling Wave, because Saya Kamatani and Rana Yagami are going to catch the wave, which is crazy in its own self. But, like, I don't know if it's going to be necessarily signing talent away, but there's going to be relationships that they lean on to make things happen. Sure, they'll probably sign a handful because that's just what they do, but I don't think they're going to raid them necessarily. And bring over more foreign talent, that's always a great choice, I think. And I think both of the companies will absolutely do that because that's how all, you know, that's how, you know, Bushiroad works with New Japan. That's what they do. And this is Bushiroad running Stardom. So I don't see why they wouldn't. And the same goes for Rossi. You know, Rossi's always brought over international talent. So I fully expect that. And then to answer, how big are TJPW, Ice Ribbon, Sendai compared to them? TJPW is big. They're part of CyberFight, which is a pretty big company. They're not small. Compared to Rossi's company, couldn't tell you because like you said, we don't know yet. They are smaller than Stardom, of course, but they do pretty well for themselves. You know, they're going to the U.S. and selling out their shows. They had a great show in the Sumo Hall 2 weekends ago. Like, they are a pretty big show or a pretty big company. Ice Ribbon, Sendai, those are your Joshi indies. Those are indie companies. They're not all too big. That was a lot of talking. We're at an hour and 22 minutes. Before we wrap up here, I will answer one last question, and then I will ask for your final thoughts, my friend, as we wrap up, because I am starting to lose my voice. This is from at Keem Wins. Your thoughts on the Joshi indie scene as it stands right now, and who feels stagnant in it? My thoughts on the Joshi indies never change. There can be so much more. I started this episode excited about Tsukasa Fujimoto. I come on the show excited about anytime Sari is wrestling. I come on the show excited anytime these big matches happen, but there can be so much for who feels stagnant? Everyone. Everyone in the scene, truly, outside of the Stardoms and TJPWs, they feel stagnant. Now, you're getting me at a time where Sendai Girls has a show this weekend, and Seedling has a big show in 2 weeks, and Marvelous has a show this week, and, you know, so on and so forth. But it's just all stagnant. I want more Sari matches. I can't say it more, but I want more Sari matches. Everyone should be booking her. There's such great wrestlers, like talent that are as good, if not better, than some of the, you know, like Sari, Arisa Nakajima, Tsukasa Fujimoto, Miko Wada, Veni, Chihiro Hashimoto. The list goes on and on of these incredible talents. I want more. So I think the whole scene's stagnant, but I just think there's a real opportunity, whether you're working with Rossi, whether you're working with Stardom, that is an opportunity to maybe wake yourselves up and keep going, because, you know, these are going to be big spots. I'm pretty confident Rossi's promotion is going to be a big spot for wrestlers to compete. So yeah, that's how I feel. I had a lot bigger answer for that when I was asked, but I am feeling sick. It is 12:40 a.m. my time. I've been talking for an hour and 20 minutes with my good friend here. So we're going to wrap this up with some final thoughts. So give me your final thoughts on what anything we talked about today, because we have a big weekend coming up. This is our final thoughts segment. We have our big weekend coming up on Friday. By the time the show airs, Julia and Utami Hayashishita have had their final matches in Stardom. Done, finished, over, gone. And that means we are one step closer to new Stardom being official, right? The cloud that has remained over the company since Rossi's departure has been who's leaving. We knew who was leaving. Now we know what their final matches are, their final dates are. So what are your final thoughts here on the future of Stardom following the departure of Julia, Utami, Mirai, Mai Sakurai, Yuzuki, and of course Rossi Ogawa? Because finally we have reached that point.
first I want to say something that I believe you kind of implied, but really does bear repeating, which is that we are barely 2 months removed from the announcement that Rossi was leaving Stardom, which already was just completely an out of this world like idea that never entered my mind. And that sort of knocked us sideways. And so many things have happened since then. I just really want to take a little bit of perspective to just acknowledge how much has happened over just the handful of just a really short period of time. So we're all grasping with this together. And yes, people, please be kind to us. We're both battling illness while trying to record this. So I promise I'm not always as inept as I am on this recording. But to answer your question about Stardom, and I will also contextualize this with what I experienced over Joshi Mania weekend. The president of Stardom was there, and he wasn't just at American Dream. He was at the meet and greet signing that Shuri had prior to facing Masha Slamovich. He was at the meet and greet of every single Stardom wrestler, and he was personally thanking fans for coming and attending. He was even going so far as to helping out with taking pictures between the fans and the Stardom wrestlers. This is not some guy that is on cloud nine, high above his minions, looking down at everyone like some sort of overlord or tyrant. I really get the sense that this is a genuine person who's trying to make people happy with the, we'll say, product that he is putting out there. And so that really gave me a sense of reassurance. Yes, of course, there are going to be bumps. There are going to be forks in the road. There are going to be unexpected difficulties. There are going to be moments where we're just not really feeling what's happening. And the departure of the wrestlers and the trying to rearrange the board and move the pieces around is going to lend itself to that. There are going to be times where it's just really not lining up well. We saw a lot of this last year when people were getting hurt. I think we're going to see more of that this year, and not people getting hurt. Let's not invoke that in any sense, but there are just going to be things that don't perfectly line up in terms of storytelling and booking and scheduling. But ultimately, I do feel positive. I feel optimistic about what Stardom can achieve with the rest of this year. I think All-Star Grand Queendom will be a kind of a linchpin event, especially with the matches that have yet been announced. And from there, it's almost anybody's guess. There's so many emotions going on. I thought I had already, shed every tear I could about Utami's departure with what happened last week with her her match on the 31st, and same thing with Julia. But now it's happening all over again one more time just for the road. So there's still a lot to process. There's still a lot that we're going to be puzzled by. There are things that we're not going to be able to expect that we're going to be hit with. But ultimately, I can't help but feel very much optimistic about what's possible for Stardom and all of these amazing people that make it what it is.
Well said. Well said. Here are my thoughts now that we have reached this point, finally, with new Stardom. And that is that Taro Okada, I can see it. I saw pictures of you at these meetings and the show and things like that. And I see your tweets of care for this roster and promotion. But we have reached a timer now, my friend. And the timer is All-Star Grand Queendom and on. I think that is truly when all of the anything connected to Rossi is done. That is a new world from there. And I need stories. I need cards before I'm recording. That is not just a me thing. That is a legitimate ask. I want these shows to be known. You're trying to sell tickets. You can't just do like day of announcements. We didn't get the Corkin until like yesterday. We're sitting here right now as of this recording. It's early Thursday morning for me. We have three matches for All-Star Grand Queen. Last year, we had the full card at this time. That is your biggest show of the year. You are already testing the Stardom product in a big way, with Hanan and Momo Watanabe being the ones to step up into big title matches. And I love that. Don't get me wrong, because you have the ace in the hole that is Mayu Iwatani versus Sari, of course, which, you know, I kind of figured was happening with or without Rossi here. I just think that was always the plan. But you need to start booking. Right now is the time. I feel like post Grand Queendom, the honeymoon phase that many fans have had with Okada will start to wear off a little, because it's about booking shows. I think he's done, for someone that was inserted into the position, never been a booker, he's done a fine job. But, you know, I'm now losing out on subtitles on my Stardom World, and I'm not going to fully know stories and things like that, which is already bothering me enough. At least start to plan these things ahead of time and start booking, like, stories that aren't just Cosmic Angels based, because the only story I see that he's booked truly is the Cosmic Angels one. So I'm giving him this month, you know, you're fine until Grand Queendom. It's after Grand Queendom that I want to see your booking for this company and what your vision is outside of working with all these other companies and putting on cool matches. You know, companies can put on cool matches whenever they want. This company can put on as many cool matches as they want and possible, right? We watch them all the time. But that is my feeling towards it. I appreciate what he's done so far. I appreciate the care I've seen him put in on these shows here in the US. There's a, like, he is doing something and you know, making sure this roster is okay. And I love that. That truly means more than any booking, truthfully. Like, it's like, you know, I'm watching out for these wrestlers. I'm making sure they do what they need to do. But at the end of the day, you're also the booker. So it's time to start getting ahead. You know, let's get ahead. Let's start booking and, you know, I give you a little leeway, and then it's time. But that is my little final rant here. Let the people know where they can find you and anything else you need to say as we wrap up here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Mr. Edwards, for having me on. To everybody listening, thanks if you made it this far. You can find me pretty much in a couple of places under the same sort of name. If you look up String Six Splash on YouTube or Twitter, it is all one word. It is the number six in the center, String Six Splash. You'll be able to find me. You can also search for Red Belt Radio on YouTube, which should do the trick and get you where you need to be. I talk about Stardom. I talk about what I love about Stardom. And I talk about all the crazy and scary stuff that we keep running into as the year unfolds. And just to mention Joshi Mania, I did attend, in case you didn't notice by now. I got to see a number of great events. I got to meet every single Stardom wrestler who was there. I also met President Okada and Ref Daichi, of all people. And I will be talking about that on my channel. So you got to tune in, and you'll be able to see that one day. So thank you once again for having me on. Hope to talk to you again in the future, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on here. Now for time for me to do my plugs. Let's see if I can think of any. Follow me at Scott Eat Wrestling on Twitter/X, whatever you prefer to call it. I don't know why that has become my common thing that I say on the show, but that is what I say. Next Tuesday, Stardom Road will be back, and we will be diving into the world of Stardom Championship reign of one Utami Hayashishita and how she grew through that reign, the importance of every match, so on and so forth. That'll be part one. We'll do it in back-to-back week, so part two will be out 1 week later. Then we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming. And I think that's it. Next week, I'll be back talking Rossi's new promotion, Stardom Talent in AEW, as Azumi goes one-on-one with Tony Storm. The farewell matches of Utami and Julia, and whatever else comes up in the next week. That's exciting. So until next time, see ya.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.